council meeting of October 20, 2015. Before we get started, I'm just going to tell you a couple of updates. As you see, Mr. Wilson's not here today. Councilman Wilson fell at home Friday and had a stroke. He's in Christiana Hospital. He's in good spirits. I talked to him for Sunday just with him. He's in good spirits. He gave me a hard time. Tell me he feels pretty well. He's in a great hospital, great doctors. And they're going to be doing some rehab and he'll be home as soon as he can. So that's where we are. Mr. Lawson, approve the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good morning, members. Only amendment today is to strike the approval of minutes.
Okay, motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Arlett. We'll take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
I have a motion carried. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council?
I got a typical message on the web on Acumara about people who have covered their bridge here for 1 year. And I think I'll just wait till we meet again because I don't have it right in front of me. But basically the message was development and more development and we're meeting. And I just wanted to know what's coming at me.
Thank you. Any more correspondence from council? Public comment, Mr. Guy? None?
None, sir, but if we please speak into the microphones, pull the mics closer to you, we cannot hear.
We certainly will.
Thank you.
Next thing, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Today we're joined by Mr. Mark Isaacs, Director of the University of Delaware Cooperative Extension. Mr. Isaac's going to provide us with an update on all the great activities at the university. Good morning, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning,
good morning, good morning, everyone. First, I want to extend best wishes and a speedy recovery for Councilman Wilson. So please pass that along to him. On behalf of the University of Delaware, I want to take this opportunity to thank the council for their continued annual support of all of our programs out at the Carville Research and Education Center, which for many of us still call it the substation. I'm here today to just give you a real quick synopsis of how we use the funds and rest assured that they all stay within the county, none migrate to New Castle County. I know that's always a question at times. And we have, from the support that y'all give us, about $27,600 goes to support all of our extension programs, which that's the big one is 4-H, our Master Gardener program, and our Family Consumer Science programs. We have about a little over 18,000 supports our crops research programs, and that's really important from the standpoint that a lot of the problems that are specific to Sussex County as far as production agriculture, that you can't get grant funds to support those because they're not biotechy. They're more production oriented. So we use the council support to look at nematodes, to look at fertility issues, some problems that are really specific to our county. So that's really nice. We have about $13,000 that is spent for our Sussex poultry research and where we're doing applied research for the poultry industry, and then Lasser Laboratory, which, as you all know, is our newly renovated diagnostic lab. And we want to thank the council for the years of support for that. And then we spend about $10,000 to support our safety programming that goes on for our county. We work a lot with our staff and also with individual programs, do safety training programs for some of the county events, and have a great relationship with emergency response groups as well. So that's kind of a quick synopsis of how we use the resources that you provide us, and be happy to entertain any questions that you may have.
Any questions, Council?
No, everything sounds good to me.
Just want to commend and thank you for all that you do with it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I do want to also...
There's a real reason you're here.
Yeah, show me the money, right? I do also want to thank the council, take this opportunity to thank you all for the proclamation that was bestowed upon me at the Sussex County Farm Bureau Banquet for the Distinguished Service Award. Thank you very much. It's a very, very nice document.
Congratulations.
My friend, thank you for all you do. We really appreciate it. Yeah, we'll get a picture for you. We'll get a photo op, everybody.
We should get ready. He's going to show the card. Look, you've got to turn things around. He's not telling you.
We good?
We're good.
Again, Mark, thank you guys very much for all you do. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And don't hesitate if there's any questions you have or any recommendations, please let us know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Isaacs. Next item of business, we have two proclamations this morning. The first one is the Red Ribbon Week proclamation. I believe we are joined by Liza Morrison of the Seaford Young Marines. And the President of the Council has the proclamation. I'll read the proclamation and then we'll take the opportunity to have a photo op. Proclaiming October 23rd through the 31st, 2015, as Red Ribbon Week in Sussex County. Communities across America have been plagued by the numerous problems associated with illicit drug use and those that traffic in them. There is hope in winning the war on drugs, and that hope lies in education and drug demand reduction, coupled with the hard work and determination of organizations such as the Young Marines of the Marine Corps League to foster a healthy, drug-free lifestyle. The Seaford Young Marines is trying to get the word out to children and parents across our area about the dangers of drugs. Governments and community leaders know that citizen support is one of the most effective tools in the effort to reduce the use of illicit drugs in our communities. And the Red Ribbon has been chosen as a symbol commemorating the work of Kiki Camarino, a Drug Enforcement Administrative Special Agent who was murdered in the line of duty and represents the belief that one person can make a difference. The Red Ribbon campaign was established by Congress in 1988 to encourage a drug-free lifestyle and involvement in drug prevention and reduction efforts. October 23rd through 31st has been designated National Red Ribbon Week, which encourages Americans to wear a red ribbon to show their support for a drug-free environment. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends the Seaford Young Marines for promoting drug demand reduction awareness throughout the year and encourages all Sussex Countyans to wear a red ribbon in support of a drug-free environment. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President.
Well, down. Come right on down. Here we go. Here we go. Good morning. How are you? You guys doing good? We're going to take a little picture here if you want to hold that right in front of you. You good with that? Okay. Wow. Yeah, tall lens for this, that way. You good, Mr. E? That one right here?
Right here. I'm 2-1. Take another one. 2-1. 2.
We're good. We're good. We're good.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you guys very much for all you're doing. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Mr. President, may I make one quick comment? I wanted to share that the organization is producing amazing leaders in this community. I just wanted to share that publicly because I know that I won't give out names, but I would just say that some of them are putting on amazing fundraisers and are very active in this community. And we applaud you and wish and look forward to more leaders coming from your organization. So I just commend you all for all that you guys are doing. So thank you.
Okay, the next proclamation is a proclamation proclaiming November 13, 2015 as World Pancreatic Cancer Day in Sussex County. I believe we are joined by Marlene Davis and Eileen Rosenthal. I'll read the proclamation and we'll take a picture. Whereas in 2015, an estimated 48,960 people will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in the United States, and 40,560 will die from the disease. And pancreatic cancer is one of the deadliest cancers, currently the fourth leading cause of cancer death in the United States, and is projected to become the second by 2020. Pancreatic cancer is the only major cancer with a 5-year relative survival rate in the single digits at just 7%. When symptoms of pancreatic cancer present themselves, it is generally late stage. 73% of cancer patients die within first year, and 93% die within the first five. Approximately 140 deaths will occur in Delaware in 2015. Pancreatic cancer is the seventh most common cause of cancer-related deaths in men and women across the world. There will be an estimated 367,000 new pancreatic cancer cases diagnosed globally in 2015. Whereas the good health and well-being of the residents of Sussex County are enhanced as a direct result of increased awareness about pancreatic cancer and research into early detection and causes and effective treatments, now therefore be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby proclaims November 13, 2015 as World Pancreatic Cancer Day in Sussex County, signed Michael H. Vincent, President, dated October 20th, 2015.
Bring it on down.
Wow, a birthday. Well, happy birthday. Yeah, there you go. Huh? Wants to sing to you?
Can I make
you surely can.
I'm Arlene Davis. I'm 2 years clean with pancreatic cancer. This is Tom Pemberton. I met him in the cancer support group. Tom is now 5 years out.
Wow.
And actually been told that you're cured, correct?
Mine will not come back.
Wow. And this is a miracle.
It is.
And I hope I have the same miracle. But we are grateful for this because pancreatic cancer does not have a face. And
sure.
It's still one of the cancers that are under the radar. So.
Thank you.
Let you all hold this. Get in here, young man. Are we good, Chipper? Thank you all very much for coming. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Next item of business is a wastewater agreement for the woods at Johnson's Corner. Containing your packet was the fact sheet for Sussex County Project 81-04, the Woods at Johnson Corners, otherwise known as Fenwick Hamlet, Fox Haven Phase 3, agreement number 889-1. Containing that information were the listing of a system connection charges of $121,275 with a proposed construction days of 30, construction and admin costs of $9,999, and construction costs of $66,664. Unless you have any questions, I have a proposed motion. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 889-1, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Bay 20 LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the woods at Johnson's Corner, otherwise known as Fenwick Hamlet, and Fox Haven Phase 3, located in the Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
I will get motion carried.
Thank you. Next item is the 2016 holiday schedule and council meeting schedule. Contained in this week's packet was information pertaining to both the county holiday and county council schedules for calendar year 2016. Contained in that information was the proposed 2016 holiday schedule, which includes 13 days of recognized holidays, as well as two floating holidays for eligible employees. Also, taking into this current calendar year's practice, we designated specific days where the county council will not meet. That was designated in the information contained in the packet. The result would be that the council will meet 36 times and will not meet 16 times, which is the exact number of meetings the council was scheduled to meet in 2015. As always, that schedule is flexible, and we can either schedule meetings or cancel meetings as our workload generates. Unless you have any questions, I have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the 2016 County Holiday and County Council meeting schedules as presented.
Pleasure,
County. So moved.
Motion, Mr. Deaver, second. Mr. Cole, any questions? Then vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Corlett.
Yes.
I'm the motion carried. Next.
Thank you. Next item is discussion and recommendations relating to land use applications scheduled to expire on January 1st, 2016. As council is aware, prior years, the county council elected to extend the set to expire planning zoning applications. Those applications included conditional uses, RPCs, and subdivisions. In 2011, the council went back to January 1, 2009 and extended that to January 1, 2013. And then again, those were set to expire January 1, 2013. And the council extended that to the current extension, which is set to expire January 1, 2016. We, as county staff, including myself, and Mr. Lawrence Lank, the Director of Planning and Zoning, have been contacted by a handful, several, less than 10 at this point, developments or representatives of developments seeking an extension of what is to be the expiration of their current application. Due to the fact that the extensions were proffered by an ordinance from County Council in previous years, I asked our legal staff to determine who would be able to grant a further extension of those scheduled expirations. By way of memo dated October 9, 2015, Vince Robertson, Assistant County Attorney, stated that because the time extension was granted by ordinance, only Sussex County has the authority to consider such requests for extensions. As a result, any such requests should be directed to County Council and considered as an agenda item during an upcoming County Council meeting. And I believe I've shared that memo with County Council. So today's discussion is simply an awareness of County Council that our legal staff has rendered a decision that we should bring any requests for extensions before the County Council. And then it will require County Council on a case-by-case basis to extend any of the applications that are set to expire January 1, 2016. It's going to be up to County Council to determine if the extension on a case-by-case basis should be granted, and then for how much. You will note there is a application on today's agenda regarding a pending application that is set to expire at the end of this year, and there was one that was already granted involving the Arbors at Cottagedale. Those two specific cases involved a brownfield case for one and a legal case that took several years to adjudicate, and that was why it was recommended that both of those be extended. And we're not using the terminology extended, we're actually using the terminology suspended for an additional 6 months. So that's really the reason we wanted to put it on today's agenda, is to make you aware of this, and any future extension requests will have to be brought forth for County Council's approval or denial regarding the circumstances.
Question, Council? Mr. Cole?
My question would be, if the application or the project expires, goes beyond the expiration date, and we deemed it to be voided, right? Can they still come back and ask and appeal after that point, or do they have to appeal prior to the expiration? In other words, they know that here comes the expiration. You do it beforehand, I would think. I think if it would expire, I mean, do we allow them to come in a month, 2 months, 3 months after they've expired?
I think it would be the better practice, obviously, to come beforehand. I've not looked at the issue if after the fact, but my gut reaction would be after the fact it's already expired. So my feeling is that anyone wanting that or needing that should apply now.
Well, why don't we determine that today when we make a motion to move forward with this issue? Specify that, you know, any appeal would have to be done prior to an expiration date. Because it doesn't make sense. Like you say, once it expires, you can't unring the bell. It's expired. That means it's something different.
I think
you want to review that.
Yes, I would want to review that. Okay. And also, I want you know, it needs to be on a case-by-case basis.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying that my concern is the point of the expiration.
I would prefer to look at that.
Is that something we're off next week? The first week in the November, could you bring that back
absolutely.
To us?
Absolutely.
So, okay. I have a motion to deal with that.
May I have something to
say? Yeah.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Steve.
When would be the best time to kind of go over my thoughts are on that? Would that be now or later or what?
Go ahead.
Yes, if you're referring on on the issue that
so
Mr.
Cole. So discussion, there's no ordinance involved. Okay, so the typical responses and letters I'm getting, I've already said, from my district are enough already. I don't believe in, if we have a rule, we have a code, and we just run over it and run over it and run over it, how much longer are we going to do this? And I really don't want these units or whatever is proposed built under old code. You know, maybe if you want to do this, make them bring it up to code. But there was a reason for the expiration, a good reason. And county council failed that. I think economically that it's not the time to make that excuse that this is the only way that this developer can survive because homes are selling. So as far as I'm concerned, this would be one of the worst things we could do, and I would like people that I represent to have a little more faith in us, and this is another thing that will destroy that.
If we extend,
if we just
continue to extend.
Right.
More comments?
May I? Roy, two questions for Mr. Link. As I was not here prior to these approvals, could you share how many communities we are referring to or applications we are referring to? What's the number?
That's question number approximately one. 100 subdivisions. 100 approximately subdivisions. 20 RPCs and approximately 100 plus conditional uses.
So it's over 100 then applications?
Yeah, it's 200 plus.
How many?
200.
There was 100 plus subdivisions. 100 plus conditional uses and about 20 residential plan communities. Some of those have come in since the time in the last year or so and gotten final approval, so now they've got a time limit to get substantial under construction, so they can be taken out of the fold. There's some that had preliminary approval that are now asking for trying to get final approval, and they're having issues dealing with getting other agency approvals. As Mrs. Deaver said, they have to bring their projects up to standards because other agencies also have time limits on their projects. Typically, it's about 3 years.
Stormwater
is like 3, Delta's like 3, our regulations are 3, other than when you get final, you have 5 to get substantial underway.
So, over 200 applications, how many lots or units are we looking at? Do you have any idea?
No, I can't say.
Are we talking?
I'd have to recount.
10,000, 5,000, 20,000?
I could say several thousand, but it's a large several. Without counting them, I have to count them.
Okay.
But we've had some that have changed status.
Okay. Is that something I think just...
There's some projects that are actually substantial underway now that were on that list. There are some that have just gotten final approval, and they're going to have to be substantial underway by December 31st. Right? So the number I had to go back and recount.
Okay, and then one last question, Mr. President, if I may. I'm just trying to get a feel for what's out there. But I mean, if there's 200, let's just say, applications that are out there, of that 200, a guesstimation, how many are dormant, i.e. there's nothing going on, and how many, as a percent, would you say is somewhere involved in the process? from your guesstimation?
Well, they're all somewhat involved in the process, but I would say probably 30-40% are totally dormant, okay, with no activity. And then you're dealing with conditional uses then more than your subdivisions, because what we see more actively is subdivision applications trying to get final approval. When they get final approval and they record it, they have 5 years to get substantial away, which means if they got recorded this year, then they could, it would basically go to 2020. Almost 2021, almost.
Well, I wanted to make sure that I was not unclear when I was describing what we are experiencing from staff level. We were not operating under the assumption that this would be a blanket extension for all applications set to expire. This would be simply a case-by-case basis, and we've been asked to extend less than 10 to date. And out of that, only one is probably out of question, because the request has been for a 5-year extension beyond this year. The others are just about ready for final, and they're just not going to, they run a risk of not getting there by the end of the calendar year. So they're actively trying to be at the stage of final, but they may or may not make it by the end of the year.
And Lawrence, we have always had the ability, even before we did these extensions, for developers to come in front of the county council and ask for extensions, right?
Well, years ago, it was to the commission.
To the commission.
Right. And the commission had the authority. And that's because we only had 1 year approval. They had to come back in and get another extension, another extension, another extension. Sometimes we had 4 or 5 years.
And they did that quite often?
And they did it quite often.
Now it's 3 years.
And now we just changed the code to make it 3 years, which gave them time to get final approval and get it recorded. Then they have 5 years to develop it. So basically, you get 8 years.
Okay.
Once they get approval.
Before you close out, one more thing. I'm coming from that district, but got many, many of them, I'm sure. I'm kind of shocked it was it's that many. I didn't realize that. Thank you for those numbers. The problem is that I'm looking at is a whole lot of upset people, a whole lot of development at pending. And is there some way when people buy land here, they can be shown what it's going to look like here? You know, they move in and they, things are changing, and it would be very helpful, I think, if people were told, yes, we have this coming and that many coming. That it's not a bad thing.
No.
It would just a little disclosure might be helpful, and I don't think folks would be so upset. And it's a big issue because it's their lives and that are being affected. So I just want to say maybe there's some way we can let people know, yes, we're growing fast, and that is what we're doing, and we expect so many homes here, maybe. There's got to be a way to let people know in advance what might be coming, what our plans are, except asking them to look at the comprehensive land use plan. That's a bit much. But I'm just talking about some visual ideas.
Correct.
For instance, if they want to buy on Plantation Road and somebody said, well, it's going to develop from one end to the other. Well, yeah, that's true, and that's what it's doing. But it's good for people to know that in advance. So here we have these surprises maybe coming up for even dormant applications, and it's strictly not fair to those folks that live in my district.
Well, you have a situation where you have a development that already exists. You have an approval that took place in 2005, and it went through the process, so it had 2-3 years to get started. Then they fell into the pending because they got the time extension, and now there's 10 years later, and now you have new residents, and those new residents have no idea what's going on. All of a sudden, construction started taking place. Even on those parties that pre-existed. I'm thinking of one of the projects in your area.
Yeah.
So it is a surprise.
Yeah, I just wish that they could be advised.
Is it possible, Lawrence, with our technology nowadays, to have a map or an overlay that would show pending applications?
We've already started that map.
Okay.
And it was presented a few weeks ago to council, showing the different things that are basically just spots, but it tells you where the projects are.
Following on what Mrs. Deaver says, somebody moves in now, and they like where they want to buy, but they're concerned about what might happen next door.
And they ask.
Is there, I know they ask, many of them do ask, but let's say the ones that don't ask, but is there a tool that we could use on our county website that somebody could access to show them, like I say, they push one button that shows things that are approved.
It's already there.
And they can push another button showing
that's, them. That's what we just showed. That's what we just showed council a few weeks ago. Right, and it's in a process.
And it's easy for the general public to use.
Realtors can take advantage of it, actually.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about the general, where I'm thinking about maybe the public.
Well, typically that question comes up in settlement table.
Yeah.
And it's disclosed to the realtors. So that helps.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that not right?
Yeah, and a lot
yes,
of
you do.
Yeah. Can I add one thing? Good. You raised a question about time extensions and how they're done. And the Board of Adjustment has that process we just discussed earlier. If the application request for an extension comes in before it runs out, the board will consider. Even if we received it the day before that would have run out, as long as we've received it in the office, the board would act on it at their first available meeting, even though it may be 6 days after it ran out, it was received prior. And if it came in after the deadline and the application actually expired, they will not consider it.
Right. So, right. That seems to me like
the way process is in place with a different group.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Mr. Moore.
Yes, if I could add one more thing. As some of you know, there's been some turmoil recently because of a court case involving DENREC and soil conservation standards. I've received calls from many attorneys who deal with land use that are concerned because they have clients that are in the pipeline with projects now that they're ready to turn in some of the, or to get the approvals. And they're caught up in this, and it's going to cause some delays. So we may see an influx of requests because of certain projects being caught up with the new regulations. And I just want to put this on the radar screen of council. There may be situations where, through no fault of their own, because of this court battle and the agency approval, that they may not be able to meet the deadline. And again, that would be something they would come in on a case-by-case mm-hmm. basis and show council, here's what happened and here's why.
Well, I would predict, Everett, that only applicants who have legitimate reasons will come in because once they get here and have to, you know, explain to us, if it's not a legitimate reason, I can't imagine that they think they're going to get anything done. So, you know, agency approvals, those kind of things are legitimate reason.
And they would have to show, they would show the track record, what they've done, the engineering they've done, they were ready to submit, but because of the turmoil, they could not get approvals during this period of time. So that would just be part of the record that they would establish with this body.
May I just respond to that? Yeah, I think it's a good idea, Mr. Moore, so that folks know we are doing our homework, you know, we're not just ignoring the status of regulations. And as far as the folks who are just moving in, the letter that I've talked about earlier, folks have lived here since 2014. So you can imagine what they don't know or don't, you know, it doesn't seem to matter when you moved in, but those folks have as many rights as the ones who have been here for 10 generations. So I just want to point that out.
Anything else from council?
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. Lawson, what is the procedure? How are we communicating the process?
So far, we've been contacted either my office or Mr. Lank's office by applicants. The people that are in this situation are aware that they're in this situation, and they see the end of the line coming. So they are proactively reaching out to the county to determine what the resolution is. They submit a letter and give chronological information as to where they are in the steps of the application. They provide proof that they have gotten certain agency approvals and they're only waiting on one or two agencies. And they will usually proffer that they're a certain amount of days or months out until they can get final. This has all been done via letter correspondence between either my office or Mr. Lanks. The folks that are contacting us know that they need to have a little more time. We are not, we thought perhaps we should announce this, but we chose not to because of the fear of misinformation. So we have not sent anything out to any of the pending applications. That would simply almost be impossible at this time because we don't even know which applications are live and which ones aren't. So that's sort of a snapshot of where we are.
Anything else?
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mr. Lawson, Administrator's report.
Thank you. Administrator's report for October 20th, item number one. Attached, please find the call statistics for the Fire and Ambulance Call Board for September 2015. There were 14,876 total calls handled for the month of September. Of those 911 calls, 79% were made from wireless phones. Item number two, a reminder that Council will not meet on Tuesday, October 27th. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on November 3rd at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Jim Hicken.